My name is Jacob Sager, and I believe in an artful, ethical, and inclusive humanity thriving amongst the cosmos, and I've created Space Midrash as a mission to probe the intersection of Jewish civilization and the space age. You are listening to Space Midrash. This is episode 4, titled Sitting Shiva for Spock. In this episode of Space Midrash, we're going to talk about Spock's death in the movie Star Trek II. I apologize to any Trekkies in advance who I may trigger by asserting my own perspective on what any of the Star Trek universe might mean. It's all open to our own interpretations, but the Star Trek universe is just as rich and vast as our own, and I hope to be accurate to the canon. In today's episode, I want to talk about death in space, which is a uncharted and uncomfortable topic. But I think that by exploring the death of Spock, we can open up a Jewish conversation about life and death and meaning in the space age. So this is episode 4 of Space Midrash, titled Sitting Shiva for Spock. At the end of Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, Spock goes into the warp core to save the ship. And the radiation is too much, and he succumbs to death. And in the final scene, Spock is in a casket that is like a torpedo, and the crew are all standing around. His casket is going to terraform a planet. But I want to get into what Kirk says as he's eulogizing his friend. He says, "We are assembled here today to pay final respects to our honored dead. And yet, it should be noted, in the midst of our sorrow, this death takes place in the shadow of new life, the sunrise of a new world, a world that our beloved comrade gave his life to protect and nourish. He did not feel this sacrifice a vain or empty one, and we will not debate his profound wisdom at these proceedings. Of my friend, I can only say this. Of all the souls I have encountered in my travels, his was the most human." And that was a quote from Kirk before they launch Spock's casket into space. Spock is an interesting character because he's a Vulcan, and Vulcans are so close to humans. And he is actually half human, half Vulcan. What's interesting about Spock in particular is Leonard Nimoy is a Jewish actor from Boston who gave him his iconic look and brought in the live long and prosper Jewish hand symbol. And the character of Spock allows us to explore and look at the Jew in the future. There's this piece in which Spock, being half human and half Vulcan, relates so much to the Jew in the world, who is of a Jewish consciousness, but is also a human participant in humanity. What's particular about Kirk's eulogy is that he doesn't mention anything other than the dead. He just mentions Spock. He doesn't mention any belief system or what they think is going to happen. That, to me, is interesting, and it reminds me and makes me think of the Mourner's Kaddish. The Mourner's Kaddish being a certain prayer towards the end of the service in which those who are mourning, the survivors of those who have died, are there to stand up, and we're there to support them during this particular prayer. And what's strange and interesting about this prayer is there's nothing about mourning and there's nothing about death, but that's not because the experience is to exclude that. It's that the survivors of the dead are who we can honor. There's some interesting contrast there. And so Shiva is this process for sitting for 7 days after the death of a loved one, and you continue to mourn for a whole year. And, you know, if someone is in your life and then they're gone, you're forever affected by that. There's this depth of human existence that is felt in the death of another person that cannot be prepared for, only dealt with by going through it. And so I think about Spock's death because Kaddish and Shiva are these existential tools that we have. They allow us to not deny death or make up some story or some sort of emotional justification that'll pass. These are existential tools that allow us to just let it happen, to embrace the feelings, the confusion, the loss. With more people going out into space, how will we manage death? How will we talk about death? How will we mourn? Being on a spaceship, being on Mars, you've got work to do. And if one member of your team is gone, there's more work to do. And it is a life or death situation at all times. So these are the kinds of questions that we need to begin asking ourselves going into this new space age. That it is not just about building a life of meaning. It is not just about discovery. It is about living and dying meaningfully. It is about supporting people in their true human emotions as a result of what will actually happen. As we look forward to the space age, most of the conversations are about technology and huge futuristic shifts in society. But at the same time, we need to actually ask what doesn't change and what is going to stay the same and what is so true to us that we really need to consider how we need to keep it true in the future. And how we mourn the death of our friends and our lovers and our family members is very important. And it's actually a very Jewish thing because death happens. And in Jewish history, there's a certain level of perpetual tragedy in which the conversation about how do we handle death comes up. The psychology and sociology of mourning is very Jewish. We need to take things like Kaddish and Shiva that we use to handle death, take them with us as we leave this planet and we go further into space. To me, Kirk eulogizing Spock was one of the most Jewish moments in all of Star Trek. When the drama and the entertainment value passed, I was only left with questions about what this could mean to me. So I offer it to you, dear listener. How do we sit Shiva in space? How do you sit Shiva for Spock? How can we embrace the psychology and the existential burden of surviving the death of a loved one, of surviving the death of a crewmate in the space age? I don't have any answers for this. Thank you for listening to the Space Midrash podcast. I'm Jacob Sager. This has been episode 4, Sitting Shiva for Spock. If you want to hear more about this episode, please come over to our episode page, spacemidrash.com/4, F-O-U-R. And from there, I'd love to hear what you think about sitting Shiva in space. What would that look like? What needs to change? What do we need to keep the same? Let's keep this conversation going, because is there going to be more people in space? We're going to bring our whole lives out there, and we'll also bring our deaths out there. Thanks for listening to Space Midrash Episode 4. Live long and prosper. Space Midrash is written by me, Jacob Sager, and recorded in Austin, Texas, and produced by Brand New Colors.